This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Next on Plains FM, we have Movie Talk, a program for all things cinema-esque, for the discerning film and video junkie.
Welcome again to Movie Talk. Today we'll be looking at two rather offbeat movies, Shazam, Fury of the Gods, and Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. We also take a careful look at a historic Empress of Austria in Corsage.
I'm an idiot.
It's showtime!
I don't deserve these powers, if I'm being honest. Like, what am I even contributing?
Ow!
There's already a superhero with a red suit with a lightning bolt on it. Aquaman is literally huge and he's so manly. And Batman is so cool. And I'm just me.
Shazam, Fury of the Gods, continues the story of a teenager who, upon saying the word Shazam, is transformed into an adult superhero. Carolyn Brown's been off to the Silky Otter Cinemas at Wigram to see this kid-friendly comic book movie. Carolyn, the first episode in this series was very popular when it came out 4 years ago. What did you think of this follow-up, Shazam, Fury of the Gods?
It was a lot of fun. There's an awful lot of action in it. As you know, I'm a Marvel fan generally, but Of all the DC films, I do like Shazam. So it was pretty good to go see.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I mean, there's always good fun.
Oh, yeah. Still. Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of comedy in this one as well. So.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. They're good for a laugh there. Well, this is sort of an interesting thing about these films, that it seems, you know, they've been putting out these superhero films now for decades and getting more and more complex and serious all the time.
Oh, DC is well known for being serious.
You know, and it's been getting that sort of that heavy way, so complex, you know, and so many characters all together in it and all this sort of a thing. And when the first Shazam film came out in 2019, it had that touch, that lighter touch of humour to it.
It did, which is
it was deliberately made like that to get away from this seriousness that was
darkness
coming out from the other studios with all the films, and they started this off, and now they're continuing this, and they're also doing it's appearing in other films, like another one starting here soon, Dungeons and Dragons. That's done along.
What is amazing about that lightheartedness they bring to this film is that the director and writer, he's a horror film specialist, and you can actually see that in some of the monsters that are in this movie. They were pretty scary looking. I don't know if I was a 4 or 5 year old if I would have nightmares at night about them. But in terms of DC, this is a very good crossover between adult and child superhero, so it's very well done in that concern, in that way. And it's very much a big screen movie as well. The action is full on. This one, what I liked about this one is it's got Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu starring in it as two villains.
Yes. Yeah.
Both very heavyweight actors in the dramatic world.
Yeah. Well, this is a good thing about, I mean, here again, this deliberate thing. They've got quite a few, they've got these three girls, basically. They're all daughters of this woman, the Anzac goddess, and Atlas, I should say.
Yeah, they're daughters of Atlas.
They are sort of young goddesses themselves, becoming from this mother, supposedly.
Yeah, in terms, only 6,000 years old, so I guess that's
But then somebody's stolen their powers and now they want to get them back. All of this comes in as, not a subplot, but it's, but this is outside the actual Shazam side of the whole thing.
Yeah, no, it is. And I'm pretty sure Helen Mirren had a great time playing a supervillain for a change. She's normally used to much heavier. In fact, I can't even think of a movie where she's done a lot of green screen CGI work before, so it was very entertaining watching her bit on the screen. And there are lots of cameos in this film by various people, including the director and his wife.
Who are they?
They both have very small cameo roles.
David Sandberg.
Yeah.
Well, what did he do?
His wife plays a nurse who's saved by Shazam, which is really quite funny because you do at the time go, why are they focusing on these extras so hard? They almost give them mini stories in a way. Yeah. And he appears as well. He gets saved by a giant monster. So,
yeah. But it's just nice to see these films developing in this way now with that lighter sort of touch. And also the family touch.
Yes. Yeah, no, this is very much strong in this film. It's all about family. One thing to mention, we only stayed for the mid-credit post-trailer scene. There is actually another one at the very end of the movie, which we missed. No, people have to wait and watch till the very end.
You have to go and see the whole film again. Okay.
To watch the end of it. But I didn't realise that was something DC did as well as Marvel.
They do that in a lot of those films, don't they?
They do now, comments and touches at the end when the credits come up with
other scenes come up. Some are quite funny and some you don't know.
Yeah, one way to make you stay until the end of the movie and watch the credits, that's for sure.
Yeah, I guess, of course.
So there will be a Shazam 3 by the looks of it, from what was happening in the end credits. But it is an entertaining movie, definitely on the big screen movie.
Yeah. I remember as a kid that the comics used to have Captain Marvel, and he was the Shazam bloke. This fella used to say the word Shazam and turn into Captain Marvel. And this is virtually the same as this.
He'd
say Shazam and he'd pop and he'd be in a costume and he'd look sort of different. Because in this one, this is a teenage boy played by Asher Angel who says Shazam, and he turns into an adult.
Explains the Marvel reference in halfway through the movie, maybe.
I noticed sure that too, and I wondered about that. They're doing that. Yeah, but in other ways, so essentially it's the same character, although they've never quite made that clear that it's
on that. Captain Marvel is definitely in a competition cartoon, competition comic. A rival comic studio. They would be definitely underplaying that.
I mean, in those days, there was Batman, Superman, and Captain Marvel. Now there's a heck of a lot more.
Yeah, there is.
Okay, so, I think in the future with these sort of films, we can confidently expect many lighter, humorous,
hopefully so, yeah,
kind of movies.
Yeah, and hopefully this movie will still be around for the school holidays.
So no doubt. Good. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. That was Carolyn Brown with her views on Shazam, Fury of the Gods. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Plains FM 96.9.
What is that?
Run!
It's a dead end! Simon! Up there!
Portal is out of here!
Dungeons and Dragons. Honor Among Thieves is another film with fantasy, this time about a dangerous quest to retrieve a lost relic. Robin Munro has been off to the Silky Otter Cinemas at Wigram to see the sometimes hilarious action-packed adventure. Robin, I was surprised at the amount of humour in this film. What did you think of Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves?
Yes, well, it doesn't take itself too seriously, and there are a lot of very amusing moments, even though it seems a rather earnest quest to restore the life of one of the heroes' wives and to get certain special things that will help him to do that. But there are really a lot of funny moments, and it's very entertaining.
It surprised me what they can do now with these these sort of fantasy, what, superhero, comic book type movies, or wherever they come from. And this one from Dungeons and Dragons. And, you know, they can put so much into them these days. I mean, in this one, the number of odd monsters and creatures and things that keep popping up all over the place. They'd be from the mythology of different countries from around the world, if they're dragons or some other such thing. You know, they're these monsters and things are all over the place.
Yes, and sort of animals that sort of are a bit like humans, and really a whole range. And in fact, there is one very interesting elf or something like that that can change into worms and birds and mice.
Oh, yes.
And there's a tremendous scene where she escapes from all these people pursuing her by changing her form. And even the dead have quite an interesting role.
You're talking about asking the dead questions.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, can you explain that to me?
Well, the idea was that they were looking for a special helmet that had been lost in a battle. And they were told that if they went to a graveyard where the soldiers who had fallen in this battle had died, that they could bring them back to life and ask them five questions, after which, so that they could bring them back to life, ask them five questions, after which they would die and could not be revived again. So they asked, well, they hoped to do this with one, but they asked too many questions, and so that one died.
Yeah,
so
just asking them, hello, are you there? And how
yes,
are you feeling
yes.
and all this?
Silly
and that'd take up five questions. And they were dead again.
But then when they had got the answer that they wanted, they'd only asked three questions of one man, and he was left saying, aren't you going to ask me any more questions so I can die? And he was already in a rather decayed state. But this was very hilarious. It somehow reminded me of Spike Milligan. I mean, he's long dead, but these disheveled corpses sort of answering questions, and this man claiming, please ask me another question.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, you know, it's such offbeat. I mean, it's extremely funny. I mean, it's not often that I actually sort of chuckle or laugh out loud as much as I did in this movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is also certain characters in it. I mean, they're not deep characters, but Hugh Grant plays this rather smarmy sort of bad guy, and he obviously relishes it. But the other ones do too. Although the leader sort of this group, Edgen, played by Chris Pine, is also not all that bright, and they poke a bit of fun at him too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, and then of course, like in these films now, you know, they've got all this sort of CGI technical aspect to the action is surprisingly well choreographed with lots of digital special effects. You know, like
yes.
I said, the dragons and monsters and magic spells are stunning to look at. You know, there's something new, something different keeps popping up all the time. It'd be quite a difficult place to actually live in, I think.
Yes.
There seems to be quite a change in films these days because there seems to be more and more of this kind of thing coming out. But this, to me, was one of the best of this nature that I've seen so far.
Yes, I think it really should reach a broad audience. It is based on some board game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many people play it these days, but it certainly was played, I think, a lot in the 70s and 80s. But you might recognise some things from that in this, but I'm a novice to that world or the worlds that they create in connection with that, and I still, I think, understood it pretty well. It's straightforward, but as I said, it's very entertaining as well.
Yeah, and I think for all ages, it's as much kids would have quite a lot of fun with it, but adults, I'm sure, will get just as much fun and possibly a few more laughs out of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Robin. That was Robin Munro with his views on Dungeons & Dragons, Honour Among Thieves. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Plains FM 96.9. I would like to thank the show's sponsor, the Harcourt's Grenadier Accommodation Centre, which is now located at 98 Morehouse Avenue. If you're looking for a place to live, check out the Harcourt's Accommodation Centre website. That's assetmanagers.co.nz. That address again, assetmanagers.co.nz.
Dann in dem richtigen Moment so. So und dann.
In Corsage, beautiful Empress Elizabeth of Austria is thrown into turmoil as she reaches her 40th birthday and anticipates being considered an old woman. Sue Freeman's been off to the Alice Cinema to see this somewhat fictionalised historic story. Sue, you've already seen several films about this lady who actually lived back in the 1800s. In what way does Corsage differ from those earlier Austrian films which you had seen in Germany?
Yes, well, those films in Germany were with the beautiful and very well-known actress Romy Schneider, and they absolutely glamorised her. She was the fairy tale princess.
And yeah, that's what they sort of turned this empress into, a sort of fairy tale.
She was a fairy tale princess, and Romy Schneider was a very well-known and very beautiful actress, and she embodied this Princess Elizabeth, Sissy, beloved Sissy. She was always called Sissy. and of course, Corsage is completely different because you're seeing the nitty-gritty of the impact of the huge attention she got and the negative effects had on her life and personality.
Being so high up in royalty with all these people around her.
She was constantly being criticised what size, whether she'd eaten, whether she hadn't eaten, how much weight she'd put on, how much she'd lost. And although, you know, no social media,
how
no
to do
press,
her hair and whatever.
Yeah, 3 hours to do her hair and her hairstyle and everyone copied it. And what I used to see in Germany was just this beautiful, accomplished princess, fairy tale princess, and she was very accomplished. She spoke several languages. She was a very accomplished horsewoman.
Yeah, well, this is it. She's played in this film by Vicky Creers.
Creeps.
Oh, Creeps.
Yeah.
Yes. It'd be an Austrian actress, I think, isn't she?
I'm not sure whether she's not German.
Could be German.
Yeah.
But in the film, I mean, most of the film is spoken in German.
Yes.
But you get her actually speaking excellent English and
Hungarian.
French. And then you get the Hungarian as well. And, I don't know if she speaks this. Some Italian speaker pops up in the film too.
Well, she certainly spoke French.
Hungarian, English,
German.
German.
Mm. And she was a very accomplished horsewoman. She rode every single day.
Yes.
And she kept herself very fit.
Mm. But on the other hand, she didn't get on too well with her husband, the emperor.
Well, she became more and more estranged from him because he was wanting her to just be there and be represented.
Do it as a job.
So she basically, she wasn't expected to have an opinion. She wasn't expected to do anything else but be his wife.
Yeah.
And she didn't like that. And, of course, the big comparison is with Princess Diana of Wales.
Yes, well, this is it. Yes.
The modern day
and now they're making quite a few films
about Diana. Yeah,
mm.
But the comparison, while I was sitting there watching Corsage, I kept thinking of Diana because it was similar issues 100 years previously.
Mm-hmm.
Here was a princess that everyone was obsessed with, so she became...
And liked.
She was this beautiful princess, and she was a bit of a rebel. She grew up in a country. She was given freedom. And then suddenly she got married and she was constrained by the palace life and what the expectations were. And the comparison with Princess Diana is constant, in my view. The whole time I was watching it, I just thought, gosh, 100 years on, we've got the same similar scenario.
Yeah. But then, now the interesting thing is, now this, you were basically talking here about this, this was a trilogy of films, these German films, a trilogy of them. They came out about the 1950s, first of all, I think.
Yeah.
And now, and that sort of idealized sort of a lovely portrayal they gave of this empress.
Yeah.
But now this one gives, this new film gives a totally different side of her. Shows as this very serious woman, always trying to get in, be involved in something or trying to deal with something.
Well, I think, you know, I think it's the way society's moved on a bit, isn't it? Now, back then we did sort of, you know, you just looked at it as this idealised perfect life, and now someone's decided to unpick it a bit. You know, why? You know, why? And it is fictional because you don't actually know, because what I know about her is that she didn't allow any photos of herself to be taken after the age of 30.
I see.
And she carried a fan to basically hide her facial expressions, and she kept very, 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 very private. So she rode her horse in private. She had this incredibly reclusive life because whenever she went out, she was pursued.
Oh, yes.
Everyone
and she travelled about. I mean, she went to England.
Yeah,
actually, she was Empress, well,
of
basically.
Austria and Hungary.
Hungary as well as Austria.
Well, it was the Austro-Hungarian alliance there, So she did travel around, but she knew that everyone was watching her all the time. Exactly the same as Princess Diana of Wales.
Yeah.
It's like I think.
Yeah. Now, the odd thing, it's changed so much else. I mean, one thing, we shouldn't give away too much of the film, but what happened to her.
Has not been
totally changed.
Yes.
I mean, the first films you saw, they never discussed it. It was never mentioned.
No, she was just the beautiful princess.
Happens to her in the film is, again, totally different what happened...
In reality.
In reality.
Yeah.
In which she was assassinated.
Yeah. 40,
this is film set around about her 40th birthday.
Yeah.
And she was killed at the age of 60 in Italy by some anarchist or some kind of person then. But that is, again, totally different to this film.
Yeah.
So they've... Both sets of films have given a fictionalised version of her, but in totally different ways.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this film so fascinating.
I think it's really well done, Corsage. Having seen the Romy Schneider movies in Germany, which were beautiful and glittering and lovely, but then seeing this one, I thought Vicky Creeps did an amazing job as the role of Princess Elizabeth Sissy.
And speaking all those languages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was wonderful. I think it's well worth watching. If you're interested in history and you're interested in that sort of thing, that's what you should go and see.
Good stuff. Yeah. Thank you. That was Sue Freeman with her views on Corsage, and I'm Hans Petrovic inviting you to listen to Movie Talk again on Plains FM 96.9 at midday next Wednesday. This program will also be repeated at midday on Saturday, and you can listen to podcasts of earlier episodes on the Plains FM website. That's plainsfm.org.nz.